Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, we have a very powerful verse, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." And Jesus is here stressing that in Luke chapter 13 when he gives this bold and this very important statement to the multitudes, "But I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And as one pastor said, if God's today be too soon for you, for your repentance, then tomorrow may be too late for His acceptance. People put this off all the time. I hear, "Don't push me, leave me alone." And at the end of the day, Jesus is very urgent about this. He is pushing people. He is saying, "You must repent or you will perish." Now, this comes in the context of Luke chapter 13, where he had been stressing this emphasis on time, the shortness of time, the brevity of this life, that we don't have any time to waste, because any extension of time beyond the fall in Adam is a testimony of God's mercy. "You must repent," said Jesus, and he said that right to the multitudes. What is repentance? Well, repentance is stopping what you are doing that's wrong, stopping going the other way, away from what you know is right, away from God's law, away from dishonoring Him, and stopping, and it's changing of the mind accompanied by a sincere hatred for continuing in a path that offends God. It is a sincere sorrow that produces repentance, as 1 Corinthians 7 says, a sorrow for sin to overcome. And if you love it, well, you will not let it go. Only godly sorrow for sin will lead one to turn away from it. And that comes by the sovereign grace of God working in the heart. Now, we can imagine the multitudes hearing Jesus' statement. What must they have been thinking when Jesus looks at them all and says, "Unless you repent, even though this Tower of Siloam fell and killed others, even though Pilate mingled the blood of others, and you think they're bad sinners, the point is, in this same way, this is going to happen to you if you don't repent." You wonder what they must have been thinking. The only conclusion is, if they rightly understood what Jesus had just said, is that they stand right now and they're still living by the incredible mercy of God. And after this sharp warning of the impending judgment, the whole thing turns into an entire parable of mercy. I want you to listen to what follows this in Luke chapter 13. After the people had come and present to him this mingling of the blood, the Pilate's mingling of the blood of some, and this Tower of Siloam falling and killing 18, and Jesus saying, "Unless you repent, you will all perish." You know what directly follows this? Listen to verse 6 of Luke chapter 13. "He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" Now, this parable tells so much about the character of God towards people. After reading a parable like this, we think of all the multitudes standing there hearing something like that. And immediately, the first thing that would have jumped out of their minds is that of a fig tree. The fig tree was a symbol of God's pleasure, and throughout the Old Testament is used to represent Israel. And speaking of his judgment upon Israel, the Lord said in Jeremiah 8, verse 13, "I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree." One day in Jesus' ministry, he walked up to the fig tree, didn't he? And he cursed it. But here we have Jesus using the fig tree in this parable. A man had planted a fig tree in his vineyard. He was not able to find fruit on it. And what we find is that for 3 years he came looking and is frustrated because nothing is growing on his fig tree. So he wanted to tear the whole thing down and destroy it. But the keeper of the vineyard asked for it to be left alone for just one more year, and he will dig around it and fertilize it. After the year is up, then there will be time to evaluate if the fig tree is worth keeping. If it bears no fruit, then it can be cut down. Now, how do you apply this to what Jesus had been saying? Think about the situation, my friends. How many barren professors are there in Christ's vineyard? How many have never repented? The fig tree obviously had represented Israel and their rejection of Christ. He had come, but they were bearing no fruit of repentance. But surely we can take this a step further and say, there are many in Christ's vineyard, his church, that may look like a fig tree. They may even be a large tree of long standing in the vineyard and very respected, and yet bear no fruit in context of repentance in their life. It is so easy to come to the vineyard covering everything up. It's easy to represent oneself as a Christian, but far different to show by bearing fruits worthy of repentance. Is your life characterized by a deep sorrow for ongoing sin and a healing satisfaction from the gospel? Does the law shoot its arrows of God's demands through you, causing you to fall before Him, hating and wrestling in repentance to overcome your sin? May you be comforted today to know that is the life of the Christian. That is the way of the Christian. The balm of the gospel is healing you. The more your sin is felt, the more you fall before Him in repentance, the more you will value Jesus and love Him with your whole heart. See, I'm afraid that such a heart is rare today. I can't get over a statement by John Calvin that I stumbled on one time. All men have a general veneration for God, but very few reverence Him. And whenever there is great flashiness in ceremonies, sincerity of heart is rare indeed. Very few reverence Him, says Calvin. Even in His vineyard, sincerity of heart is rare indeed. Have you come to Him with a repentant heart? The parable leaves us with this open-ended question. The owner of the vineyard was ready to chop down the fig tree. But the servant pleads for one more year so that he can dig and fertilize it. And then, if there's nothing, it can be cut down. Do you see what the Lord is communicating? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. But you're still here. The Tower of Shalom hasn't fallen on you. Your blood has not been mingled by Pilate. All these natural disasters in this life have not consumed your life and taken you. Look at your opportunity. He's giving you time. Look at the incredible mercy of God towards sinners. We're reminiscent of that woman Jezebel in the corrupt church of Thyatira. The Lord said, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Oh, the Lord gives time. And the parable is saying that judgment is delayed. He is pictured as giving one more year. That theme pervades the entire Bible, my friends. Remember, the flood was delayed for 120 years as Noah, a preacher of righteousness, preached to that wicked generation, and they did not repent. And all of a sudden, the floodwaters came and took them away in the great flood. How long has the day of the Lord been at hand? How long has the church expected the second return? We're now in the year 2007. He has delayed His judgment. He's giving men time to repent. He is long-suffering. Right now, He's digging. The word is going forth. We're in the last year, so to speak. And the issue that is before you today is, have you repented? Sure, we recognize this only comes by grace. Sure, we recognize this comes by His sovereign power. But we never interpret these things by the grid of His sovereign decrees, because we don't know who the elect are and who aren't. What is that before us is the call that never changes. Have you repented? Repent and believe in this Jesus. Have you looked to Christ for your remedy? The parable shows today, my friends, God's forbearance is not forever. His mercy will turn into vengeance at some point. The time of final judgment is near. And just as we are told not whether the fig tree does bear fruit, we're not told whether It has continued to stand or was cut down. So we are each to look at our own hearts and ask if we have truly come to Him in repentance and faith. Will you be cut down or will you stand by His grace? Never forget the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Oh, my friends, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Where do you stand? May the way of repentance fill your life, and you will escape the terrible wave of God's wrath that is coming upon the whole world. Delight in His mercy while it's still called day, for the night is coming when no man will be able to work. But oh, the way of Jesus is a life of freedom. He has the power to remove that inmost burden and sorrow from living in this sin-cursed world, and it's all around us. The miseries is all around us. Just turn on the news. But may His blood and Jesus Christ's righteousness, through the power of the resurrection, give you strong courage this day. Strong courage and hope to know that in coming to this Jesus in true repentance, nothing will separate you in life and in death from His almighty and powerful love. Isn't that what Jesus has said? He who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Come to me, says Jesus, all of you who are weary and weighed down because of your sin, and I will give you rest for your souls. Come to Him, fall before Him on your knees today, and ask and repent of all of your sins, and ask Him to be the King and Lord of your life, and truly then come to know what it means to live in the joy of this comfort in Christ alone, as He saves you by grace alone. At the Linden United Reformed Church, we want you to know this Christ in a saving way, a Jesus who saves you from all of your sins. Visit us this Sunday for worship. Our promise is we will not entertain you or provide the thrills of this world, but we will give you the one message that's able to save your souls. Our worship services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many articles, resources, things there for you to profit from. You may also give us a call, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.